Shalom Aleichem. Morning, Baruch Shechianu, V'kimanu Yenu Azman Azat. Wonderful to be back to the new Zman and new Sevyos. I asked for the midterm, during the midterm, for the few people who actually took it, if there are any suggestions for what to do, what topics to focus on this month, and I think you were the only suggestion, so we're going to start with what you requested. I'm still open to suggestions, though. One request was to talk about the relationship between Pshat and Drash, and I'd like to begin that discussion with a focus on Parshas HaShavua. Actually, since it's Parshas Mishpatim, a good opportunity to think about this, and it's a doubly good opportunity since everyone's learning Bava Kamma. So we'll try to focus on Bava Kamma, Parshas HaShavua, and the relationship with Pshat and Drash. Now, first of all, just a little bit of background. Generally speaking, when we think about the question of Pshat and Drash, we think about it in the realm of Agada. Namely, you can interpret Psukim Al-Pi Pshat versus Al-Pi Chazal, and Al-Pi Pshat, I don't know, how old was Rivka when Eliezer came? She was, I don't know, we don't really know, but she's probably not 3 years old. And then Chazal say, no, she was three, and then you have to figure out, what does that mean? Is it literal? Is it non-literal? Regardless of whether it's literal, what is it coming to tell us? It's very hard to imagine a three-year-old drawing water and watering 10 camels. So that is, I think, where we most frequently think about this question. And perhaps we will, though I think not today, perhaps we will consider the relationship between Pshat and Drash, first of all, with respect to the question of what actually happened. Second of all, what is it coming to teach us? Third of all, how do we relate to situations where Drash seems to contradict Pshat? Obviously, most of the time we could just simply say Drash is a deeper level or an additional level on top of Pshat, but what about when they seem to contradict? Those are important questions. I think everybody probably has thought about those questions, though. And again, if it interests you, we can come back to them. But there's another related question, which is what we're going to talk about today, at least initially, which is how Pshat and Drash relate on the level of halachic sections of Chumash. And in my view, the questions there are even more troubling. Why? Because when it comes to the non-halachic sections of Chumash, so we can very easily understand how we learn a lesson on the level of Pshat. Drash teaches us an additional level, additional layer of meaning, and we learn lessons from that. And so we understand the story from multiple perspectives, and each one, that's Pashat. Again, not to say it doesn't require analysis, but it's more pashat. Whereas when it comes to halacha, so of course we know that the halacha follows the drash. The halacha follows the drash. When we want to know what to do, lemaisa, we don't look at pshat, we look at drash. And the Gemara derives halacha from the midrashic means of interpretation of Torah, Yud Gimel Midosh Atar Nidrashos Bahen, and many other such rules. And the question is, what do we do when Pshat is different? Or is there any purpose of focusing on Pshat? Since, after all, the goal of these psukim is to understand halacha, and the halacha is determined by the drash. So what's the goal of Pshat? So maybe we'll say that there is no purpose. And what's really, when we study the halachic texts, at the very least, our only interest is how Chazal interpret them, and therefore what the halacha is. Many, many thinkers don't accept that approach. Many do, probably, but I think what we're going to focus on, because it's most interesting and very powerful in terms of how to relate to Pshat and why the Torah wrote the way it did, if that's not what determines the halacha, we're going to talk about those who say, no, there's a tremendous value to focusing on Pshat, even when it's keneged halacha. Now, one answer to this question would be that just like Drash in the narrative portions, for example, teaches us a deeper layer, so too there's a deeper symbolic layer to halachic portions. And that's true. Again, for Parshas HaShavua, there's a very beautiful piece in Derech Mitzvotecha about Am Ivriya and the deeper meaning of the whole Parsha of Yud and Am Ivriya and the like. But that's sort of taking a halachic section and looking at it from a symbolic, non-halachic way. And that's also easy to understand. But I want to focus on an even more straightforward question, which is purely looking at the halacha, but looking at it from a non-halachic way. So just one example from that parsha of Am Ivriya, which we'll see, and then we'll look at how the Rishonim do it. But I thought this is just a good example. From the very beginning of our Parsha, the first source you have on the top right of page 1, Imra'a b'nei Adonai asher lo ya'ada v'hefda, la'am nochri lo yimshal l'machra b'vigdoba. So here we're talking about Am Ivriya, and the Torah is telling us that, as Chazal understand it, and Rashi points out over here, that if a person buys an Am Ivriya, he can do yud, which basically is marriage. So he can marry her, or if he chooses, his son can marry her. And if he doesn't do mitzvah yud, so then he has to release her, b'shanim, and lam nochri lo yimshal l'machra b'vigdoba. And Rashi points this out. Asher lo ya'ada, shahaya lo li'ado, lachnisa lo li'isha. And what does this mean? How does it work? The kesef kniyasa hu kesef kidusheha. The Gemara in Kiddushin, of course, discusses this at length. How does yud work? Is it the original kesef mechira? Is it? Okay, there's a lot of discussion about that. But everybody takes for granted what yud is. What is yud? It's basically a form of marriage. It might be a little different than normal marriage. It might be the same as normal marriage. But it's marriage, right? Relates to kesef kiddushin. That's what yud is. That's what Rashi al-Torah explains. Look at the Grun, the next source. This is from the Adaras Eliyahu on that Pasuk. First, he talks about the Kriyuk Siv, Lo versus, with the Vav versus Aleph. And then he writes, so he first interprets it al-Pi Chazal, Upashta dekra, bezimun be'alma, below kidushin, ki yi'ida hu zimun aval, Chazal Amru Shayida Hu Kiddushin. In other words, what does the word Yud mean? Asher Lo Ya'ada. So he says, Chazal me say Yud is marriage. It's Kiddushin. But that's not the Pashtus. The Pashtus is Yud is Zimun. Zimun Ba'alma, as opposed to marriage. Now, if the Gemara is telling you this, it's because it's important to know. The Gra is telling you, when you're learning this Pasuk al Pi Pshat, which is obviously something that the Gra thinks is valuable, you have to understand the Pasuk differently than Chazal. Halach l'maisa, the Gra isn't saying that's what Yud means. Halach l'maisa, Yud is marriage. She would need a get after Yud. If she would be Mizana, she would be Chayavis Misa. But the Gra thinks that understanding that that's not what the Pshuto Shel Mikra is important. When Chazal told us Yud means Kiddushin, they weren't saying that's the only translation. They weren't saying that's the pshat. They were telling you that's the halacha. This might relate to Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto, which tells us that even after Chazal interpret a pasuk one way, we still have to consider the pshat, consider Tosis's understanding of Uvas Ish Kohen Ki Sechel is Gnosis of Yem Mechalalas, Tosus and Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Amud Beis, Yivamos, Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, Aleph. Won't get into that now. But that's what the Gra is telling us. So, I'd like to, we could talk more about Yud, but I'd like to give two different examples of this, where we see the Rishonim making the same point and addressing the obvious issue, which is why or what are we meant to learn from the fact that the Torah formulates it differently than the halacha? In other words, if the halacha is X, why did the Torah formulate the psukim in such a way that the pshat is Y? Just formulate the psukim like the halacha. Very strange, right? That we would have this division. So, the first example from our parsha is a very famous example. Those of you who have learned already Perkachovel have already certainly thought about this, and if not, so you'll hopefully get there soon. So the pasuk, of course, in our parsha, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, yad tachas yad, regel tachas regel, kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas patza, chabura tachas chabura. So, Chazal, of course, tell us that tachas isn't literal. And by the way, though we're not going to focus on that now, it's important to note that pshat, or pshuto shel mikra, doesn't necessarily mean literal either. The way the Gra defines pshuto shel mikra is the way you would interpret the text if all you have is the text. That could be very sophisticated. The Rishonim, Rashbam especially, talks about the omek of pshat, the depth of pshat, the profundity of pshat. It's not always literal. Just like human beings in talking use statements and they're not meant to be understood literally. So pshat doesn't mean literal, but it is the understanding that you would have when all you have is the text. So Chazal tell us, either way, maybe we'll talk about in a couple minutes whether that's the pshat or not, Chazal tell us, though, that lahalacha, at the very least, ayin tachas ayin is mamon, it's not literal. And that, of course, raises the question, why does the Torah formulate it the way it does? Why does the Torah formulate it the way it does? So, we're going to read now a passage from the Rambam's Gemara Nevuchim. This is a very famous, infamous passage. Those who have perhaps studied academic thinkers on the Rambam know they say something, not they, sort of oversimplifying, but a number of them read this passage in a way that would make the Rambam's position particularly problematic, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. So here's what the Gemara Nevuchim says. At the context over here, this is Perek Mem Aleph of Chelek Gimel, so we're talking here, these are the prakim where the Rambam deals with Tamei HaMitzvos. The Rambam offers Tamei HaMitzvos for all the mitzvos, more or less. But he also divides the mitzvos into 14 categories. The Rambam likes the number 14. He also likes the number 13. The Rambam uses numbers, by the way, as scholars point out. Strauss made this hara. In very meduyuk ways that numbers have symbolisms and the like. But anyway, that's another time, another topic. So this is the sixth of the 14th class of mitzvos, and it's the class of punishments. So the Rambam writes, Hema Onshin, this class, the sixth class, is the category of punishments. I gave you the English as well here. V'to'altan be'ofen klali yadua. The general purpose for punishment is well known. Now, the Rambam actually in Perek Lamed Hey, so several chapters earlier, told you what he thought the purpose of the Torah's punishments are. It's quite interesting. It's basically deterrence. In other words, the purpose of punishments isn't retribution, certainly not punishments bidei Adam, that is. And that's not the place of Beis Din, and Beis Din can't even take into account factors that would allow for fair retribution, but rather really relates to society and deterrence. I'll read you a little bit from that passage. Their benefit is apparent, for sinners and robbers were not punished, injury would not be prevented at all, and persons scheming evil would not become rarer. They who suppose that it would be an act of mercy to abandon the laws of compensation for injuries are wrong. On the contrary, it would be perfect cruelty and injury to the social state of the country. Now, in this parak, he actually discusses four factors that determines the severity of punishment. It depends, for example, on number one, the greatness of the sin; number two, the frequency of the crime; number three, the degree of temptation; and number four, the degree to which the criminal could possibly commit the crime secretly, unseen and unnoticed. These four factors will determine the degree of severity of the punishment, because these are all factors in terms of determining deterrence. Now, even though the Rambam told you that the purpose of punishments, bidei Adam, is deterrence, it is also the case that the punishments are just. And specifically, they seek to accomplish mida keneged mida. So let's continue. V'kvar hizkarnu, I've already mentioned that, as we just said, that was from chapter 35. Aval perutan vadin kol mikra lo ragil shenemar bahen shma usav. Okay, so now he's going to get into some of the details. Asa onesh kol poshea neged zulaso bofen kali, shiaseh bo kasher asa b'shaveh. So the Torah always tries to administer punishments that are mida keneged mida. In paga b'guf, pogim b'gufo. In paga b'mamon, pogim b'mimono. So if I damage your body, I punch you, I cause a person to lose their arm, so that should happen to me. And if I affect their money, right? If I ram their car and their bumper falls off, so then I've damaged their money, so I should compensate their money. I should pay them for their loss. But if I damage their body, so then my body should be damaged. V'yesh l'baal momon limcho v'losloach, generally speaking, people should be forgiving. Aval harotzeach dafka machmas chomer pish'o, eino nislach lo klal, v'ein lo chin mimenu kofer, v'il arz lo yichupar l'adam asher shufach ba, ki im b'dam shofcho. So the Torah insists that there is no kapara for ritzicha, lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, rather he must be executed. Umi shehishchis eiver me'evarei, ma'avdim lo kamoso. So therefore, based off of this principle of mida keneged mida, if Chaim chops off Shimon's hand, so Chaim's hand should be chopped off. Kasher yiteimum ba'adam, ken yinatein bo, as the pasuk states. Now, of course, you read this and you wonder, one second, ein tachas ein is mamon. So the Rambam addresses that. V'al tatrido ti es machshivosecha b'mesh anu onshin kan v'tashlum. Don't bother me with the fact that we know that that's not true. We don't chop off his hand. Rather, we make him pay tashlumin. Ki akavana ata laseis tam l'mikraus lo litein tamim l'tarsha b'al peh. Our goal now is to try to understand the tamim of mikraos, and not to give the tam of Tarsha Baal Peh. Meaning to say, what is my goal in Mor Nevuchim Chel Gimel? My goal is to give tamei ha-mitzvos. Is my goal to give tamei ha-mitzvos al peep shot, or to give tamei ha-mitzvos al pitar shabal peh? Says the Rambam, my goal is to explain the tam al peep shot. Imashi yeshli bedinza svarash miyana bal peh. I have something to say about this, but I can't write it here. I'll tell you orally. Remember, the Rambam was, in a certain sense, technically speaking, writing this work, the Mor Nevuchim, to a student. He says, I'll tell you this. So we don't know what he's talking about. But the Rambam here tells us a very interesting idea. He says, look, my goal here is Tamei HaMitzvos. Now, when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvos, you can really have two options. You could do the Tamim for the shot, or Tamim for Halacha, for drash. Now, intuitively, if I were writing a sefer of Tamei HaMitzvos, I would say, I'm going to tell you the reasons for the mitzvos as practiced, right? Not as written. But the Rambam tells you, my goal here is to tell you the reasons for the mitzvos as written. Not as practiced, but as written. We'll see later that Rambam isn't the only one to do this. The Ramban does this as well. The Ramban, we'll see an example later, there are other examples, will tell you that this is the time of the mitzvah al pi pshat, even though that's not aliba dilchaz, that's not what you do. And then I'll also tell you the reason al pi drash, I'll give you the time of the mitzvos based off of what. But this is startling. What do I need a time for a mitzvah if that's not the way the mitzvah is practiced, right? Isn't the whole purpose of Tamei HaMitzvos to understand what we do and why we do it? And this isn't how we do it, right? We don't go chopping off people's hands. So what are you telling me the reason for why we would chop off people's hands if that's not what we do? The answer is obvious. The answer is, well, if we don't chop off people's hands, why did the Torah write it that way? And if the Torah wrote it that way, it's because that's very important for us to know. And it's important for us to know, not just on a level of, that's interesting, that's what pshat is, but for us to understand. In fact, as Barry Rosenzweig frequently points out, a lot of times you better appreciate the philosophy of the law from the pshat than from the drash. But we'll get back to that a little bit in a moment. But that seems to be what the Rambam's telling you. And we'll see that actually in this example in just a moment. So it's very important, the Rambam says, perhaps even more important to understand Tamei HaMitzvos based off of what's written, the pshat, as opposed to the way the law is practiced. Now, interestingly enough, the Rambam really clarifies what he's doing over here in Mishneh Torah, or he's much more expansive. And so let's take a look at Mishneh Torah. And here we'll really begin to understand why the Torah writes the things the way it does, if that's not the way it's practically practiced. So we'll look at the beginning of the Rambam Hilchos Chovel Mazik, which you have on the left side of page 1. HaChovel b'chaveru chayv l'shalem lo chamisha dvarim, nezek v'tzar v'ripoy v'shavas u'boshas v'chamisha dvarim elu kulan mishtalmen v'nayafesh v'nochasav kedin kol mazikin. So if you're chovel b'chaver, you chayv chamisha dvarim, you pay from yafesh v'nochasav meitav sadeu meitav karmo. Nezek keitzad shem kitei yad chaveru o raglo roen oso ki'ilu hu eved nimkar b'shuk. How do we assess nezek? We look at his value, the value of the victim on a slave market. Kama yayafe, bekamo yafe, what was his original value and what's his current value? Umishalem apecha shepiches hifches midamav. And then we subtract the current value from the original value, and that is the amount of nezek. Shenamar, ayin tachasayin. Mipiash mu'alamdu, shezeh shenamar tachas l'shalem mamonu. So first of all, the Rambam tells us, how do we know that tachas is not literal? What's the answer? Mipiashmua. That's a received tradition. The Rambam writes that in the Hakdama to Perish Mishnayis, that there are a number of classifications of halachos within deoraisas. So sometimes we read the psukim, I guess, and the psukim actually will tell us what they mean. Sometimes we have perush mekubal. Perush mekubal means that we have a tradition about what the pasuk means. Creates hadar is an esrog. Ayin tachas ayin is mamon. Totafos, art tefillin, etc., etc. Then you have halach lemoshe misinai. Halach lemoshe misinai is also based off of Misar. It's very similar to Pirsh Mekubal, except it's totally non-textual, meaning to say it's not the received tradition as to what the pasuk means, like in this case, that ayin tachas means mamon, but rather it's something that's not at all in the text. So it's based off of Misorah, but it's not in the text. So for example, shiurim are halach lemoshe misinai, chatzitzos are halach lemoshe misinai. That's the next class. The next class we have are drushos. Drushos are the way in which we are taught to interpret the psukim. These are the midoshator, nidreshes bahen, for example, and svara, etc., etc. Now, what's the difference between a perush mekubal and a drasha? So, the Rambam writes that you'll never, for example, find a machlokas about a perush mekubal, because perush mekubal is a tradition. And you'll never have a debate about tradition, because if one party has a tradition and the other doesn't, so the one that doesn't will accept the tradition. And that's where the Rambam says you'll never find machlokas with respect to halach lemoshe misinai either. There seem to be examples where we do find that, and it's an interesting discussion how to understand that. Another time, perhaps, the Rav is a very beautiful mahalach and shirim l'zecher nishmas avi mori. But that's the Rambam says. Now, when it comes to drashos, drashos are very different, though they have a deraisa status, because they are discovered by humans, and therefore, naturally, you could have a machlokas. The midos shatar nidreshos themselves are deoraisa, in the sense of their halach lemoshe misinai, they are mesorah, but applying them isn't. And therefore, two great scholars can disagree about how to interpret the pasuk. That's how the Rambam understands the Gemara when it says, Misha Nisrabu Talmide Shamay Vilo Shaloshim Shukalatzorach Rabu Machlokas Bisrael. So that doesn't mean what the Gaonim claims, that there was a forgetting of the Misorah. No, there was never a Misorah, a forgetting of that which is Halach Lemoshe Misinai or Perish Mekubal, but rather, if you have a set of rules and you have two extraordinarily skilled practitioners of the rules, they'll always apply the rules in the same way. If people are a little less skilled, so there'll be more debate as to how specifically to apply and understand the rules. So originally, there was much fewer machlokas. There are very few machlokos, for example, between Shammai and Hillel. Mishnas Rabu Talmidei Shammai Vehillel Shloshim Shukal Hatzorach. They weren't as proficient as applying the rules as their teachers, because they were low Shimshu Kol Hatzorach, and therefore Nisrabu Machlokas. So therefore, there's a reboy of machlokas. Now, the Rambam says, therefore, sometimes it's hard to tell whether something is a Pirush Mekubal or it's a drasha. The Rambam says, well, if there's a machlokas, you'll know it's a drasha, not a Pirush Mekubal. Now, the Rambam is telling you over here that that whole Gemara, therefore, at the beginning of Perek HaChovah, the Gemara goes ahead and says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, how do you know it's Tachas? Ayin is Mamon, maybe it's literal. And the Gemara has like seven different theories as to how we can derive Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon. The Rambam says that that Gemara is just a asmachtas, because the real way we know tachas is mamon is perush mekubal. It's mi pi hashmua. So what's the Gemara doing? The Rambam writes that sometimes we look for asmachtas. Sometimes we have an asmachta for din derabanan. The purpose, the Rambam says, is actually a mnemonic way to help you realize, remember the halacha when you're reading the psukim. And sometimes you'll have a asmachta to help you remember or see how the perush mekubal is somehow alluded to in the psukim. So the Rambam writes the same thing, for example, with respect to the Gemara's discussion in Sukkah about how you know that the Arba Minim are what they are, Kriyat Hadar, Kapos Marim, Anafei Tzavos, Arvei Nachal. So the Gemara has theories. How do you know that the Kriyat Hadar is actually an Esrog? How do you know that Kapos Marim is a Lulav? So those discussions aren't real questions. We know Perush Mekubal. Well, we look for asmachtos. And the same thing at the beginning of Achova, when the Gemara is trying to figure out what tachas is. That's what the Rambam writes. So continuing in the Rambam. Nezek, so Mepiash, yeah. Zesh and Amar B'Torah, Ka'asher Yitein Mu'um Ba'adam, Ken Yinatein Bo. So what's he bothered by over here? He just told you that it's Mepiash Mu'a, right? So what does he mean? Why is he bothered by that? Zramam here is saying a very important point. He's saying, I understand that Tachas is Mamon, meaning so you could understand Tachas two ways. Reasonable, even if you didn't have any Perush Mekubal. Ayin Tachas Ayin. Does Tachas mean literal Mamon, or does Tachas mean, Tachas mean literally you lob off his hand, or Tachas mean Mamon? I don't know. Could be both. Mepiash Mu'a, they said it's Mamon. But there's another problem. The Pasuk says, Kasher Yitein Mu'um Ba'adam, Ken Yinatein Bo. The Pasuk tells me what you attempted to do shall be done to you. Well, saying Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon, Tachas is Mamon, doesn't address that question. How do we explain the Pasuk that says what you did to the other guy is done to you? What does that mean? So the Rambam answers, Eino lachvol bezeh kemo shechavol bechaveiro, as we explained, it doesn't mean you chop off his hand. Ela shuroi lechasro eiver. This is what should happen to you. You are deserving of this. What's the pasuk telling me? The pasuk isn't telling me what is done to you, but is telling me what should be done to you. Don't think that chopping off your friend's hand is the same thing as chopping off his muffler. No. One is hezek mamon, and one is hezek begufo. And while it's true that we're not going to go ahead and chop off your hand, and instead we're going to tell you to pay the guy, but you should understand that's not what you deserve. What you deserve is to lose your hand. Ulefikach mishal en nizko. Vareyu omer. Velo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. Lerotzeach bilvad hu she'en kofer. Aval chisar nevarim. O lechavalos yesh kofer. And the Rambam now points out, and this is one of the drashos in the Gemara, that this is alluded to in the very psukim. The payment that you give for chovo b'chavero isn't tashlumin, it's kofer. Kofer is what? Kofer isn't tashlumin, it's not compensation for the loss of money. It's kapar, it's more like a punishment or even a atonement. And that's what the pasuk says. Lefesh otzeach iata lokeach kofer, aval ta lokeach kofer l'roshe ivarim. Should continue in the Rambam, but it's getting late. Are there any nafkaminas? Any nafkaminas to this? In other words, until now we've been saying, okay, basically the pshuto shel mikra teaches me what you deserve. The Torah about pet teaches me what you get. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim is focusing on what you deserve. the Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's echoed in Mishneh Torah as well, where he makes this distinction. And it's important to know that. But does that even affect the Lamaisa? So the Rambam says it does. Because what is the nature of Tashlumin? Kofer. It's not Tashlumin. It's not compensation for loss. So there are a number of ways where this even affects the Halacha. One of them, you skip to Chovel Perkei, the next source. Let's say I punch you, but I mode. I pay chamisha dvarim. Shari edim shayusham shenichnas b'soch yado shalim b'shas amiriva v'yatzachavol. Avalim lo ayeshay edim klau. Even though if the edim witnessed that I came in and you came in and you were whole and you left not so whole, they didn't see me do it. That's when if I mode, I pay. But let's say it's a total hoda. You taina, I was choyvel on you. Vuomer shechavalta bi vode meyatzman. I say taka, I did. Potter min anezek min atzar. I'm potter. What? Potter? This is the famous position of the Rima Gash. Why are you potter? Because what did the Rambam say? What is this nature of this tashlumen for nezek and tzar? Also boshes, but boshes is a technicality. Explains. Is it tashlumen? No. When it comes to Tashlumin, your moda, hodas baldin kmeidim dami. But what is this? This is kofer. This is onesh. This is knas. Moda and an onesh. Do you ever get an onesh? No. It's not, by the way, moda be knas pater, because it's not a knas like we saw before. It's kofer. That's why if the edim come afterwards, even though you're moda, you'd be chayef. If it was a knas, you'd be pater. But the point is that the nature of this tashlumin is very different than anything else. Because what? It's replacing an onesh. What should happen to me? I should get my hand chopped off. Elamai, the Torah says, I pay. As what? As kofer. It's a punishment. So memelef, I'm oda, I'm pater. Because you never mechayv yourself with odaus on punishments. It also, by the way, explains the Rambam's position on what we're going to Bavel and Perkei of Hilchos Sanhedrin, the next source, but we don't have time to do it. This explains a lot of halachos in the Rambam. The point, though, is like this. It's really tremendous. Number one is you see that Pshat and Rash are not two unrelated things. But they're different. You have to understand the Pesukim al-Pi Pshat. You even have to understand Tame Hamikra al Pipshat, Tame Hamitzvos al Pipshat. You have to understand Drash to know what to do. Pshat will help you understand the reason for the halacha in a way that Drash sometimes doesn't, in this case by telling you what you deserve and not what you get. And moreover, that's going to chat nafkaminas ladina, as you see in Parakei. And if you don't say that, it's so strange that the Torah keeps on talking in this way. Right? If you just said that the drash, the halacha l'maisa, replaces the pshat, then the psukim in our parsha are so mudna. But the Rambam shows us how they work together to communicate not just the meaning and the idea of the Torah, but also to help us understand the halacha. That's how pshat and drash relate. Now, just a couple more ha'aros on this point. So number one, the purpose of pshat, it helps us get a conceptual understanding of the halacha. It helps us understand a philosophical conception of the halacha. The conceptual in the sense that this is tashlumin begeder koifer and not tashlumin begeder compensation. It tells us the philosophy, the reasons of the halacha. This is what you deserve and it's a penalty. It teaches us, or it relates to, it has an effect on the practical halacha as well. You see, by the way, that when the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim over there says, don't bother me with, you know, the halacha l'maisa, he wasn't being dismissive. It's not like he didn't believe that this halach lamais is true or mepiagvura, but rather he was in Mor Nevuchim engaging in a different endeavor, which is valuable in its own right, understanding the purpose of mitzvos al pi pshat. But the Rambam clearly believes it's kulam misinai. Take a look at the Rambam, just one place where he emphasizes this. On the right side of page 2 from the Gdam Perish Mishnayos. And we'll just point out that this too is a pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk at the end of Mishpatim says, Ve'etna locha es halucha es luchos ha'even va'toira va'mitzvos. Chazal point out that you see over here there are three things that were given at Sinai. The luchos, the physical tablets, the Torah, which are the mitzvah, and the mitzvos. What's Torah and mitzvos? The mitzvos are the interpretation of the Torah. That all the mitzvos were given, b'feirushan, b'diktukeyan. That's what Torah and mitzvos are. Torah is the Torah Shebichsav. The mitzvos are the interpretation of that Torah Shebichsav. But one last interesting question. So what is pshat in Ayin Tachas Ayin? What's the pshuto shel mikra? Is Ayin Tachas Ayin money? Or is Ayin Tachas Ayin compensation? So it's not clear. And I don't think there's necessarily a clear-cut answer. You could make the case for both. But it is interesting that if you look at Targum Onkelos, he translates it literally. Eina chalef eina. Targum oftentimes doesn't translate things literally. Sounds like the Targum is translating it literally. So I once heard I heard this from Lutorsky, an interesting insight about this point. The Gemara in Perek HaChoyvel tells us that Rebbe Lazar understood ayin tachas ayin is mamish. The Gemara then says, mamish? He goes against everybody else. And he says, well, it's not mamish in the sense that you cut out his eye, but it's mamish in the sense that it's demei mazik and not demei nizak. In other words, if it really is kofar, this relates to the machlokas, whether kofar is demei mazik or demei nizak, but if it's really a monetary payment in place of the eye that should have been taken out, so it should be the value of the mazik side, not the nizak side. That's what the Gemara concludes. If you look, though, at, there are some sources, you have them over here, it implies that Rebbe Lazar actually is ayin tachas ayin mamish mamish. Now, it's not what it means, it could be what the Bavli means. One way or the other, it's very interesting because what's the relationship between Targum Onkelos and Rebbe Lazar? So they had an interesting relationship, right? They had a Rebbe Talmud relationship. The Gemara Megillah says, Gimel Amud Aleph, Targum Shel Taira Onkelos Hager Amro, Mipi Rebbe Lazar. So Rebbe Lazar's Shita was, Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamish. This Targum might be reflective of that. And not only that, but there are a whole bunch of places where the Targum follows Rebbe Lazar's view. Targum follows Rebbe Lazar's view. In Vayikra Chaf Gimel Mem Beis, in Vayikra Chaf Aleph Zion, the other places. It's interesting, Hara. Okay.
Is it the Rebbe of Rebbe Akiva or the Talmud of Rebbe Akiva? Which Rebbe Eliezer?
This is Rebbe Eliezer. No, the Rebbe of Rebbe Akiva. Okay. Now, there are some questions. Let me take them. Oh, they disappeared. Great. There are many, many other places. Aviam Levinson once made this art to me, and he showed me just in Parshas Emor, which was Parshas Avua, he found two places. One was Chaf Gimel Mem Beis, and one was Chaf Aleph Zion. take a look, see if you can read them. But there are really many other places. Okay, so this might be another place.
We have Rabbi Shimon always say Darish Tama Dikra. It's not exactly what the Rambam is saying here. Darish Tama Dikra.
No, there's nothing to do with it. Darshina Tama Dikra means, do you determine the parameters of a mitzvah based off of its reasoning? For example, the question is, are you allowed to take collateral from an almana ashira? In that case, the reason doesn't apply to ashira, but the Torah says to do it. So there's a machlokas tanoim to the extent to which we use the tama dekra as in the reason for the mitzvah to determine the practical parameters. Generally speaking, we don't. Even if we don't, there might be value in trying to understand the reasons for mitzvahs. We just don't think that they necessarily determine the practical parameters. Even with respect to that, though we don't accept the opinion and tanaim that we're darshin and tamid akra, we do oftentimes consider reasons for mitzvahs in determining their parameters. Maybe, if it interests you, we could have another shir on when it is that we allow the... You know, one of the chesukas that I actually wanted to do this man was... Tamei HaMitzvot. So I think today's shiur is a good hakdama to discussion Tamei HaMitzvot. So maybe we'll get back to that topic. Okay. Another example, just of this idea, it's not just the Rambam, we're going to see in the Ramban, where the Ramban goes ahead and again, tries to figure out the Tamei HaMitzvot, al pi pshat, but not al pi drash, not al pi halacha. We'll do this one a little quicker. It's on the bottom right of page 2. And this is from a pasuk in Parshas Tzav. The pasuk says, it's talking about the different types of menachos that are given. V'chol mincha asher te'afeh betanur, v'chol anasah b'marcheshes, v'al machavas, l'kohen ha'kriva oso lo sihya, v'chol mincha v'lulav ha'shemen v'chariva, v'chol b'nei aron tiyeh ish ke'achiv. So the Ramban says, al pi pshat, what does this mean? That if you have, pasuk tes, a minchas mafei tanur, and a minchas marcheshes, and a minchas machvas, so who gets to keep the mincha, who gets to eat the mincha? La kohen ha-makriv oso lo siya, the kohen ha-makriv. And when it comes to mincha b'lulav Hashem and v'chareva, who gets to eat that? L'chol b'nei Aaron tiya ish ke'achiv. All the kohanim get to eat it. That's what the pasuk's telling me, al pi pshat. And the Ramban tells you, I'll tell you what's the pshat, what's the tam, what's the reason for the mitzvah al pi pshat. The reason for the mitzvah is very simple. The three menachos described in Parak Tes are very labor-intensive menachos. Machvas, marcheshes, and minchas mafei tanur. You have to bake it, fry it, you have to do all these things. So we say that the kohen hamakriv, the kohen who did all that work, is zaycha to the shirayim of that mincha. He worked, he gets to keep it. Whereas mincha b'lulav ha-shemen, the chariva, is very little work. It's either just flour mixed with oil. Therefore, since the kohen hamakriv didn't do a lot of work, so they're shared evenly. L'chol b'nei Aaron t'yesh kachiv. That's what the Ramban says. That's the pshat, and that's the tam of the pshat. Tam ha-mitzvos. Then the Ramban says, of course, that's not the halacha. According to Chazal, halach l'maisa, all menachos are evenly divided. Well, why would that be? He says, I'll tell you the pshat. What's the tam ha-mitzvah? Shalom bayis. Takanas kohen him v'shalom bayis. So, again, what in the world is going on? First of all, you see, he sees that it's very valuable to understand Pshuto Shel Mikra, Shelo Ali B'Dilchasa. A. Right? That's exactly what he does. But not only does he explain the Pesukim that way, he gives you the Tamei HaMitzvot. Tamei HaMitzvot, Al Pi Pshat, Shelo Ali B'Dilchasa. So what's the point? Answer is very, very beautiful. Because let's imagine that the Torah just told you the drash, the halacha, right? The Torah just told you the halacha, told you all menachos are equally divided. So you'd say, okay, all menachos are equally divided. What would you not have understood? The chiddush, that really what should happen is that when it comes to what's fair, what would be equitable distribution? That when it comes to the labor-intensive menachos, the kohen ha-makriv gets it, and when it comes to the non-labor-intensive menachos, they're split evenly. It's only once you read the pshat, and you think about the reason for the pshat, that you understand the reason of the drash. What's the reason the drash? What's Shalom Bias? Shalom Bias is saying, you deserve this, but for Shalom, don't insist on your rights, but rather divide it equally. Share it. Don't insist on what you deserve, but rather, instead of insisting on equitable distribution, have equal distribution. If you just had the drash, if you just had the halacha, you would miss the point. And if you just thought about tamei mitzvot al pi drash, al pi halacha, you would also miss the point. It's only when you read the pshat, you understand the pshat as pshat, you think about the reason of pshat, then you go and you think about the drash, and you understand the reason for the drash, that you could understand what the chiddush is. Right? It's mamish the same thing as ayin tachas ayin. Right? If the Torah just told you that if you're choivel b'chavero, you pay dmei nizko, you would miss the point. What's the point? That you deserve your hand chopped off. And here too. Go back to the gain we said at the beginning, by yud, you'll see the same thing. Right? Pshat is extraordinarily important, as is drash. But Chazal, when telling you the drash, even in the realm of halacha lemaisa sugyos, and certainly, maybe equally, but it's more intuitively equally, in all portions of the Torah, you will only understand the Torah's message if you understand both, and if you seek to study both. I'd like to conclude. We've talked a little bit about pshat and drash, with maybe a little bit about the pnimius, what we're trying to understand. And we'll talk more about this another time, but we just have 5 minutes left, so we'll do this. Skip to page 4. The deeper understanding of Torah. And let's just... speaks for itself. We'll just learn a passage from the Zohar on this topic. So page 4, right column, which says Zohar from Parshas Behaloscha. This is a very, very powerful piece. And today we'll read it. Maybe next time or another time we'll try to explain it. Reb Shimon Omer. Vai lahu barnash de amar deha oiraisa asa lachza sipurin be'alma umilin dehadyote. Woe is to the person who thinks that the Torah is just telling stories and folklore. There are people, and if you leave the Beis Medrash, you'll meet them, who read the stories of the Torah like folklore. Interesting stories, and they interpret them as such. Dihachi, afilu bizman da, anan yichalin lemevad oiraisa v'milin dedyote uveshavcha yasir mikulu. Lemaisa, if Torah is about, you know, these stories in Bereishis are like folklore, we have better folklore. We could do better than that. Ila achza mila d'alma, afilu inan Kaf Siri de Alma is Benayu Milin Iloin Yasir. They're better stuff. Ihachi. Nezel Basvayu, Venavid Minayu, Oiraisa Kiagav. Now, that's what the Torah is doing. You could do better. I don't know. Greek literature is more interesting than Sefer Gracious, maybe. Elakol Milin de Oiraisa, Milin Iloin Inun, Verazin Iloin. All the words of Torah are elevated ideas and lofty secrets. Oiraisa, kevan de nachtas lahai alma, ilav de mislabsha, behani levushin, de hai alma, lo yachil alma lemisva. So now, of course, we have to wonder, so why is it that you can read the stories of Torah like folklore? Zohar is saying that when the Torah is given to this world, if it wasn't cloaked in the garments of this world, the world could not manage. The world could not bear it. In other words, it has to be given in human language. We talked about this in the first Zman when we talked about anthropomorphisms and the like and the purpose and the value. And here we're seeing it from a different perspective. The Alda Hai Sipur de Oiraisa, Levusha de Oiraisa Ihu. So the stories of the Torah are what? They're the Levush of the Torah. They're the outer garments of the Torah. Man de Chashiv Dahu Levusha Ihu Oraisa Mamish, Velo Mila Achra, Tifach Ruche, Velo Yelo Chelka, Balmadasi. So, I go ahead, for example, I see you. So if I think you are your clothing, right? So obviously, I'm missing something, right? You are not your clothing. Someone who goes ahead and sees the Torah as the stories, so what are they doing? They're looking at the levush of the Torah, and they're saying, that's the Torah. That's like looking at a person and saying, they are their clothing. This is me, right? Of course, it's not me. Right? I'm going to take it off soon. It's not me. It's the Levush. The stories, Kipshutan, are the Levush. Begink, someone who believes that, thinks all there is that Levush, that superficial reading. So, they have no chelik in Olam Haba. Why? Because they've denied the profundity, the godliness, the depth, of Torah. Begin kach amar David, gal enai ve'abita neflois mitarasacha, and therefore David HaMelech David. Open up my eyes so I could see the depth, so I could see below the surface. Ma de tachos levusha de oiraisa, what's below the levush of the Torah. Tachazi, is levusha de schazi lakula, the inon tipshin, Karchamon lebarnash belevusha deschazi loon shepira. Lo mistaklin yasir. Chashivu dahu levusha gufa. Chashivus de gufa nishmasa. But of course, it's not true. The chashivus of the guf. So you go one level lower, right? You appreciate that you're not your body, right? You're not your clothing. So what's below the clothing is the guf. So I think, okay, who are you? You're your guf. That's not true either. You're neshama. So a person could go ahead and they could get one level deeper. They go beyond the clothing, to beyond the pshat, they get to the drash. What's the drash? We'll see this, the Zohar spells this out elsewhere. That's the ki'ilu, the body. So it's more profound, it's closer to the truth than the levush, but it's still not who you really are. You're not your body either. Yehai gavno yraisa isla gufa. Vinun pekude oraisa de akron gufe Torah. So the guf of the Torah is the pekude oraisa, the mitzvos. Hai gufa mislabsha belevushin de inun sipurim de hai alma. And the guf is mislabish with levushin, which are the sipurim. Tipshin de alma lo mistakli ala behu levusha de ihu sipur de oraisa. Velo yadi yasir velo mistakli bemad is tachos ahu levusha. Inun di yadin yatir lo mistaklan belevusha ala begufa di iu tachos hahu levusha. So some people look at the levush, they're fools. Some people look at the guf, they're definitely much closer, but they're not there yet. Inun di yadi yasir, those who know more mistaklan. They know more. They look at the levush, but chachimim, those that are chachamim. Avdei de Malka, the Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Inun de Kaimu Betura de Sinai, Lo Mistakli Ela Benishmisa, de Ii Ikara de Kula Iraisa Mamish. They look at the Neshama of the Torah. It's the Pnimius HaTorah. Lazimna de Asi, Zimnin de Istakla Benishmisa de Nishmisa de Iraisa. There's going to be a time, there's a chelak of Torah there, Nishmasa de Nishmasa of the Torah that we can't even perceive yet, But Lasad Lavo, when we're on the Madrega, we'll be able to proceed. So our goal is to understand the different levels. What we've been seeing is, even though the Drash is, in a sense, more profound than the Pshat, it's truer in a sense, more real, but that doesn't mean that you can ignore. And I don't think that's what the Zohar is saying, that we ignore the Pshat. What the Zohar is saying is you have to get and dig deeper and dig deeper and dig deeper. And if all you have is the Pshat, then you have the most superficial understanding. But even after you dig deeper, you have to make sure that you do it in a way that doesn't ignore the words, that doesn't ignore the Pshat. And together, when you, the more layers you understand, the more true your understanding of Torah will be. Okay, those of you who didn't take the Bechina yet, it will be on the second floor of Gluck after Mincha on Sunday, so starting at about 1:50 or so. Please begin on time.